With the holiday season almost upon us, you might soon be heading over the river and through the woods. If someone comes sprinting out of the brush along the way, don't worry. It's probably just an orienteer. Only a Game's Doug Travu recently attended the U.S. National Orienteering Championships, and he has our story.
Finding a good spot for an orienteering course can be complicated. Mapping it can be complicated. Setting up equipment to record times, complicated. But Gary Kraft of Mill Valley, California, says the sport's premise is pretty simple.
You have a map and you have a compass, and it is your responsibility or your pleasure to figure out how to get from point A to point B, and then to point C, and then to point D, and then to point E.
On this bright, cool Saturday in late October, orienteers have gathered in the Lynn Woods in Lynn and Saugus, Massachusetts, for the U.S. Orienteering National Middle Distance Championships. It's part of a three-day event that also includes sprint and long-distance races at other courses in Greater Boston. Lisa Carr traveled from Dallas.
I've never been here before, so this is going to be true orienteering. It's not my familiar home terrain. That's why we like to travel. Golfers like to travel to different golf courses they never played, and for orienteers, it's the same way with terrain. We're excited when there's a new map, a new area we can explore.
There are several overlapping courses set up for different age groups and experience levels. Carr and other veteran orienteers will be on the one that's about 4 kilometers long with 13 checkpoints known as controls.
So it's like a 3D puzzle while I'm out there. And, you know, it's even better than a maze because I'm not funneled from one direction to the other. It's my choice where I go, and it's my choice when I mess up. So I feel this real sense of accomplishment, you know, when I get there and I find the control where I thought it would be. You know, it's kind of a rush. You get addicted to that feeling.
Cambridge, Massachusetts residents Larry and Sarah Mae Berman founded the Cambridge Sports Union in 1962 as a running club. They added orienteering after learning about it in the early 70s. Larry says it was an adjustment.
I was always running faster than I could navigate. Over the years, I gradually learned how to navigate better. But of course, over the years, I gradually learned to run slower.
The CSU spent months organizing this event. An orienteering map is far more detailed than a standard topographical map, and the group hired an expert to fill in specifics like large boulders, stone walls, and small streams. Berman says those elements are critical.
In your mind, you have a picture. You say, well, in about 50 yards, I pass a big rock, and in another 30 yards, there's another rock, and the control flag that I need to find is on the other side of that rock. Of course, if the flag isn't there, you say, oh, they put it in the wrong place. But of course, they didn't. You made a mistake.
Sneaking a peek at the course would spoil the fun, so the registration area is far removed from the start, about a 15-minute hike that ends on top of a rock outcropping where racers do a second check-in.
I'm not taking anybody's map. 1221.
The starting point is 20 yards away, but even here, it's hidden from view. U.S. Orienteering President Peter Goodwin.
I can see where they start from, but I can't see where they run. So there's no advantage to me to say, oh, the person on my course went that way, so therefore I can just follow which way they go. I have to look at my map and say, oh, I guess I better go a particular way.
The individual starts are spaced out. Starter Peter Lane hands the orienteer the appropriate 8.5 by 11-inch map face down, then sends him off.
3, 2, 1, go.
I assume that it would be against protocol for anybody to try and pry you for advice off the line here.
They can ask, but I have not seen the maps.
You're around the maps the whole time, but you haven't taken a look.
I have not looked at the maps.
Competitors are looking for orange and white nylon markers on short stakes. When they find the right control, they punch a small electronic chip worn on one finger into a reader. After the race, they'll be able to see their split times from point to point. Standing out on the course, there are long moments of complete silence. Then an orienteer bursts into view, racing to the next control. The championships have attracted about 300 people from all over the country. Although anyone can orienteer, many participants have backgrounds in science, engineering, or math. Allison Crocker is an astrophysics researcher at UMass Amherst. She's also the top female orienteer in the U.S. and went on to sweep all three events.
It's so much more than just running. Do I want to go over that hill? Do I want to go around it? Should I cross the stream now or further up? Are there cliffs in my way? What do I do? So you end up running really hard for a full hour, and you don't even know you've done it because you've been thinking so hard about how to get to the next place the whole time.
The sport is more popular in Europe than the United States and has a loyal following in Canada. Eric Kemp is from Ottawa, Ontario. The 21-year-old says even with maps, orienteers can lose their way.
You can get really lost. Once you sort of get to the elite level of orienteering, that happens less and less, ideally never. But there are varying degrees of sort of lostness. We joke that an orienteer never gets lost, they just get disoriented.
Orienteering is a solitary sport, but 11-time national champion Sharon Crawford of Frisco, Colorado, says one of the best parts is analyzing the race with friends.
And you talk with them, you said, gee, you know, I had no trouble with number two, but I sure wobbled at three, I overshot it, I had to circle back. How did you find it? Your friend will say, oh, gee, you made a mistake there, that was trivial. But number five, I couldn't find it.
Peter Gagarin of Sunderland, Massachusetts, has been racing since 1973. The former national champion and U.S. team coach says something about the sport speaks to human nature.
There's always a sense of adventure, which is something that I think is missing too often in life. What's it going to be like this time? How am I going to do? And sometimes you do well, and sometimes it humbles you. But just the sense of newness each time is a wonderful thing.
Exploring the wilderness has timeless appeal, and today's youngest orienteers were just 9 years old. The oldest was 84. For Only a Game, I'm Doug Tribou.